And welcome to this episode of the Connecting Faith to Life podcast. I'm Trey Rhodes, the Connections Pastor here at Northwood Baptist Church in North Charleston, South Carolina. In just a few moments, our lead pastor, Dr. Tommy Metter, will be joining the conversation as well. In our crazy and chaotic world, our hope is that these few minutes will help you stop and reflect on your relationship with Jesus as you learn to connect Christ-centered faith to your everyday life. And we do ask you to get the word out by social media and in person. And this is episode 248. If you are catching up or if you want to start here and go back, and we have a lot of subject matter that you can go back and listen to, and you can use the table of contents, although I know it's not a table of contents, and you can go back and look and see what the subject is and say, listen, I'd like to listen to that. So anyway, however you want to listen or you want to start from the beginning and get all the way through, that's great,
too. It would take you 4,000 hours to get through all that.
It would take you 100 and what?
24
hours?
Yeah, something like that. 125 if they're about
hours?
30 minutes an episode, yeah, you've got 120 hours this week.
Sure. We got 168. We have 168 in a week, so you could easily do it in a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not?
I mean, what else would you do?
Exactly.
I think it's a great way to spend your time.
So anyway, however you do it, be sure and get the word out. And as always, you can do it through your whatever you use for your social media. Get the information out about connecting faith to life. Well, Pastor, you know, I have been married now for this year is going to be 41 years, I think. 41? It's 84. No, 42 years.
42 years. That's a long time.
42
years.
You
know, your 40th anniversary, yeah. You know what that was? What that was called?
I do not.
Your Ruby anniversary.
I know. I gave my wife a Ruby.
Did you really? Well, you should have answered the question.
Trying to think what it was, something that had Ruby in it.
Yeah, Ruby anniversary.
It was a Ruby necklace, yeah. I think.
So. The only reason why I know that is because my grandparents, I remember when they celebrated their Ruby anniversary, and it's kind of a sad story, but my grandfather had lung cancer.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the last anniversary they shared together, and they knew that was going to be the last anniversary. They had a big old party and all that kind of stuff. So that 40 Ruby anniversary has always stuck out to me because I can remember being at my grandparents' Ruby anniversary celebration before my grandfather passed away. So that's kind of a sad story, but that's how I remember it.
There you go. Well,
yeah,
it works.
Yeah, yeah.
It
so,
works.
So you've been married 42 years.
Yeah, and I've gotten everything solved. I don't have any more issues. I never have a trouble with anything.
Well, the thing is, you have
mastered marriage.
Whether you have or not, your wife has.
Yes.
You have a very gracious and compassionate wife.
She is marvelous. She really is.
She's all right.
Yes, I am a blessed man.
You outkicked your coverage on that.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Yeah. I don't know how I don't know how that happened.
I mean, and I don't know, like,
now I understand that I think I've heard this story. Something about how did you and Stacy meet?
Yeah, so we had a mutual acquaintance, was a friend of Stacy's, acquaintance of mine, hooked us up.
So had you seen her before that?
This was back before the days of Facebook, and I think it was MySpace back then. Do you remember MySpace?
Oh, I do.
But I did not have a space on MySpace. I was not a MySpace person. It made no sense to me. So, and Stacy has always been a bit technologically challenged.
Uh-huh.
So she certainly
it wouldn't
did
have been
not
on
have,
there anyway.
She certainly did not have a MySpace. And so it was before the days of Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. And so we had one of those old-fashioned blind dates. Now, we had talked on the phone a couple of times because our mutual acquaintance had given me Stacy's number, and Stacy allowed me to call her, and we talked on the phone quite a bit. For several weeks, we talked on the phone and had some very, very – our first conversation on the phone was 3 hours long. And so eventually I got the courage to say, hey, why don't we meet in person? Mm-hmm. And so we did at a restaurant in the New Orleans area, and I asked her what she would be wearing. I told her what I'd be wearing, and I prayed the whole way over there, right? Like – let her have all her teeth.
Yeah,
and,
let her have
you
all
know,
her teeth.
I mean,
that would be a big that, one.
The, yeah.
And so, she did, didn't
and,
she?
And it was even better than that. She
Amen.
Had all of
Amen.
Her teeth, and she didn't look too bad either.
Yeah.
She was like, man. And then, you know, I knew after I left that first meeting with her, like, I'm going to marry this woman. And I did. Now, Stacy did not know that. She did not. It took her some time to figure out that I was worth marrying.
And you were.
I hope so.
After,
I mean, we've been at it
years,
for almost 16 years. It'll be 16 years in May, and
wow, that's amazing.
So we got a long way to go. We were both a bit older when we got married. We got all the way through our 20s before we got married, and
that's incredible.
Yeah, that was a weird time, man. Being single.
I would not have wanted to be single.
I tell you what, if you're listening and you're single, listen, I've been there. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be single for a lengthy amount of time. I mean, especially, you know, being a pastor, a single pastor, and watching all my friends get married. It was just a weird time, man. Mm-hmm. It's just really, and the whole dating scene is that's no fun.
Yeah, I would say that would be. Man, I could use another word, but we won't yet.
Yeah, that's no fun. So I'm thankful that obviously in God's providence and His timing, He brought Stacy along and delivered me from my singleness. But man, those were some weird years, man. Mm-hmm.
And you like never felt called to be single or anything, right?
Oh no.
I mean, I did not feel you were going to get married some way.
This
somehow.
Is coming someday. Just don't know when that day is. I did not feel the call of God on my life to be single for the rest of my life. That's something to do, but that was not me. And it wasn't Stacy. It was just, you know, and looking back now, like I'm thankful. If we got married younger, and the story would be different. But because we got married older, we both got to accomplish some things mm-hmm. in life that we otherwise probably would not have accomplished. Stacy was on the mission field, the International Mission Board for a while, mm-hmm. and she could not have done that
right.
in the way that she did it if she'd have been married to me. I was able to get all of my education done, finish my PhD. Mm-hmm. I could have done that as a married guy, but it would have been very, very, very hard. So we both got to accomplish some things that would have been more challenging if we'd have been married. So I think God allowed us that season of singleness to accomplish some things that I think were kingdom things that mm-hmm. God had put there for us to accomplish for the sake of His kingdom. And so, you know, that's our story.
Well, I think it's a great story.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
we just had a birthday celebration for some of our staff members. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about, I forget how we got on the subject, but Anna, our children's director, said that when she sees pictures of Stacy and me when we were younger, mm-hmm. like when we first got married, she says, "I've changed. I'm older and uglier." But Stacy,
you looked like a little boy.
Yeah, I looked like a little boy in those pictures.
Was.
And Stacy has not changed a bit. And she hasn't. Like Stacy looks the same as when we got. I mean, just same, beautiful. She doesn't look like she's aged at all. And so I'm very thankful for that.
Amen.
And your wife doesn't look like she's aged at all either.
Yeah,
she's a
Kelly,
young looking lady.
I'm very thankful.
Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about.
Well, we're here to talk about marriage, though. But we're here to talk about things that can cause disruption in marriage.
Yeah. So let me tell you why we're doing this. We're going to talk about six disruptors of marriage. Now, we've talked about marriage on the podcast before.
In fact,
a couple years ago, we did several sessions on marriage. We brought our wives in, had a lot of fun around the table, talking about different issues within marriage with our wives at the table. But we're getting ready here at Northwood to have a marriage intensive mm-hmm. this summer. This is going to be a 15-week intensive starting May 22nd. If you're part of our faith family, you'll see information in our publications about how you can sign up and be part of that. And I want to encourage you to sign up. This is something that we're going to hopefully offer on an ongoing basis, but this will be the first time that we offer it. And it's going to be limited capacity. We just can't, you know, have a huge crowd for this thing because of the way that it's designed. So if you want in on it, when you see the information to sign up, go ahead and sign up and reserve your spot for it. I'm not leading it. There's another pastor on our staff, Jonathan Edney, who's going to lead it. He and his wife have gone through this particular marriage intensive. It's called Reengage. Mm-hmm. I've looked at the curriculum. It is wonderful. I'm very excited about it. It's so biblically based and gospel-centered. I think it's going to be super helpful. But over 15 weeks, you'll come every Wednesday night during this summer, or at least through the summer, and you'll spend about 20 minutes in a large group setting, getting some encouragement and instruction from God's word on your marriage, and then it's going to break up into smaller groups, and you'll have a facilitator who leads you through lots of different discussions about various issues in your marriage and how Scripture addresses those issues. Again, the curriculum is wonderful, and I think it's going to be very, very, very beneficial. Stacy and I plan on going through it, and so I think it's going to be just a lot of fun. And so the deal with it is that it is a marriage intensive. So you'll have assignments every single week. You'll have some homework you'll need to do, some things you'll have to discuss with your spouse on a weekly basis and come back and talk about in the group. So it's gonna be a lot.
Yeah.
But some of us need a lot, you know. And so I think it's gonna be good.
It's true.
And so this is for couples in our church who've been married for a long time and are doing great. Mm-hmm. This is for couples in our church who've been married for a while and maybe not doing so great and need some extra help. This is for maybe some couples who haven't gotten married yet, who are engaged.
Yeah.
In fact,
there
I had a
go.
Couple ask me Sunday, "Hey, we're not getting married till, you know, July. Can we go ahead and get on this?" I'm like, "Absolutely."
Yes, sir.
And so, you know, wherever you are, if you are about to be married or you are married, have been married for a while, like I think this is going to be a benefit to you. So I would encourage you to do that. But as I was thinking about that and thinking about you know, helping our people to get engaged in that re-engaged marriage intensive this summer, I was thinking about, you know, just all the different years of pastoral ministry that I've experienced and all the different conversations I've had with couples. I'm not a counselor. You're not either, Trey. We're pastors. Mm-hmm. But by the nature of what we do, we get a lot of people asking us to help us to think through issues in their marriages, mm-hmm. right? And so over the years, I've done lots of counseling and, you know, lots of attempts to help couples to figure things out in their marriage. And just over the years, what I've discovered is that there really are six big disruptors mm-hmm. that can disrupt your marriage and cause conflict and just hinder what God wants to accomplish in your marriage. And so I thought it would be good today just to kind of talk through those six disruptors of marriage. And again, after doing this for years, I've seen this over and over again. And here's the deal. As we walk through these six disruptors, none of these are going to be a surprise to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this stuff that we're going to talk about, you've probably heard a million different times, right? Whether it's somebody you read a book about or heard another pastor talk about it, or you know, you saw a counselor who told you these things. These are things that are going to be things that you've heard before, but still, these are it. Like these, from my perspective, as I've walked with couples through lots of different issues over the years, these are the six big ones. These are the six disruptors.
Okay, well, let's start out with this one. Spiritual incompatibility. What in the world does that mean?
So spiritual incompatibility is when you are not compatible
okay.
with your spouse, spiritually speaking. So, and we see it in different ways, right? Like you see it happen when someone who follows Jesus mm-hmm. chooses to marry someone who is not a follower of Jesus. Well,
okay.
that obviously
I can see that.
Is going to be a spiritual incompatibility because you do not believe the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to be married to someone else when that person you're married to is not of the same faith that you are.
Okay.
I mean, couples do it all the time.
I know they do, yeah.
But, man, talk about creating some challenges and some heartache, right? Because then eventually you have kids, and what do you do? How do you raise the kids?
Yeah,
what are we
right.
going to teach? Well, we'll let them decide what they want to be. Well, that's a challenge, right? So it just creates all kinds of challenges. And then you want to celebrate this faith tradition and this spouse doesn't want to celebrate that with you. And so it just creates all kinds of disharmony. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, my philosophy over the years has been if you come to me and you're in our church and you're following Jesus and you say, hey, I want to marry this young man over here or this young lady over here, but they're a different religion than I am or they don't believe anything, I'm like, well, I'm not doing that wedding,
mm-hmm.
right? Like I want to talk to your fiance or that person you're considering marrying, I want to help them to understand the gospel. I want to see them come to faith in Christ. I'll have those conversations, but you shouldn't marry that person
because
you're setting yourself up for a lot of heartache. And just if you think about the scriptural model of marriage, like the scriptural model of marriage is follower Jesus, marrying follower Jesus to, you know, display to the world the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Exactly
and
right.
so, you know, that's a spiritual incompatibility. Or it could be, and this is where we find a lot of people, and this is what happens when people come to see me sometimes, is that both are believers in Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. but one is growing and one is not.
Yeah.
And the person who is growing in Christ is frustrated at their spouse who is not growing in Christ. Mm-hmm. Or we see it all the time, Trey. You'll see one spouse that comes to church faithfully and serves, loves the Lord, but their spouse never comes to church, right?
Happens a
They're
lot.
Just in different places. And they would both profess faith in Christ, mm-hmm. but one's actually walking with Jesus and the other is not. And so a lot of times we'll see that with a wife, right? And her husband's just not walking with Lord, and so that wife becomes frustrated that she longs for her husband to be the spiritual leader of the home, and he's just not, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that frustration that's there. And over again, I've seen this and talked with couples about this. And so, listen, if you're listening and you are maybe that husband or even that wife that is struggling spiritually while your spouse is thriving, look, you need to catch up.
I agree.
You need to start, you know, making some strides in your faith to grow, because as you grow in your faith, that's only going to help your marriage. That's only going to make it stronger. And if you're that husband who is struggling in his faith, like, we want to help you grow. And just in your marriage, like, taking some initiative. You think about as a husband, just taking the initiative to pray with your wife or
Definitely. Just
every now and then talk about the things of God. Like, those things go a long way. I'm just telling you, over the years, I've seen it over and over again, just lots of marriages that struggle because that couple is not on the same page spiritually. And you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where blessing is, and that's where joy is in marriage, and we're both pursuing Christ together.
Amen. So the first disruptor is spiritual incompatibility, but also, and I think this kind of leans into it a little bit, is bad communication.
Yeah. You good communicator, Pops?
I like to think I am, but I'm not.
I like to think I am too, but I think my wife would give me a solid B minus.
Wow, you're doing well.
I'm being hopeful.
I probably would be passing, but probably maybe a 70 or 71, you know, C minus, minus.
Well, you're a talker, Pops.
Yeah, I know. I talk about all the wrong things.
You talk about all the wrong things.
Yeah, like she's having devotions, and I'm yakking my full head off. She says, you know, honey, I'm really trying to have my time with the Lord.
But you get up that way. You get up in the morning just ready to talk, right?
I do. This morning at 5:45, I'm already talking.
Yeah.
So,
I think I don't get up at 5:45 talking, but you can ask my wife. There are times I get up and I'll wake her up and talk about something. I mean, I'm at my best in the morning, in the evening, like 9, 10 o'clock at night when Stacy's more willing to talk, like I'm ready to go to sleep. So that creates some tension. You can ask my wife. There have been many a times in our marriage where I'm laying in bed, we're laying in bed, and she starts to talk to me, and within 30 seconds, I just fall asleep.
Oh, man.
She's having a conversation. I'm just snoring. So
do you have a doghouse at your house?
She's learned to not talk to me, you know, when I'm laying down in the bedroom because I'm going to fall asleep. So, I mean.
That would definitely be the minus on the B.
That's the minus. So, and I think in general, right, like we as men get a reputation for being bad communicators. And And maybe that reputation is deserved. Maybe it's not. Some of us men do a better job of talking than others. And we know, generally speaking, this is a generalization, but generally speaking, women are much more verbose than men. They have more words than we do, all that kind of stuff. Regardless, right, like when you think about bad communication, I'm not simply just talking about, like, the conversation. Me looking at my wife and talking about our day and her looking at me and telling me what she thinks about whatever. I mean, I think all of us can grow in our ability to have better conversations.
Of course.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about communication in the sense that there's a conflict.
Yeah.
And we can't use our words well to resolve it. Mm-hmm. Trey, I can't tell you over the years how many couples I've met with who just do not know how to talk to each other.
Yeah.
And work through issues in their marriage. They'll come to conflict and do one of two things, right? They'll talk about it, but when they talk about it, the talking is actually yelling at each other, right? Like, they just get so emotional and so worked up over the issues that they can't talk to each other calmly and graciously and kindly. And so couples that resort to accusations and name calling and all kinds of stuff like that, right? I see that all the time. And so lots of times I'll work with couples and that's the issue. Like, we've got all these conflicts and we can't do anything but yell at each other.
Yeah.
Or on the other hand, like, they just close down. They'll just shut themselves off from each other and won't deal with the conflict at all. They'll know there's an issue there, but they just shut down and won't talk through it, right? Mm-hmm. And so good communication is, okay, we know there's an issue. We know there's a problem. And we're going to sit here at this table together, or we're going to sit on the couch together. We're going to talk this thing through. Yeah. We're not going to yell at each other, right? We're not going to shut down and not say anything. We're going to determine to work together through this and speak to each other like adults. And that's the cry and shame, right? It's like, as adults, most of us still talk like we're four.
I
right,
agree.
We're self-centered like we're four-year-olds.
I've been in counseling sessions where that happened.
Yeah, and so listen, if you're a follower of Christ, you got to do better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a follower of Christ, somebody saved by Jesus, right? You know what grace is because you got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what kindness is because you've experienced the kindness of Jesus Christ. And now the calling on your life is to treat others that way, especially your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so you should be able to sit at a table or sit on the couch and have a conversation with your spouse working through a difficult issue without resorting to accusations and name. Now, I know conflict is hard, and I know conflict makes us emotional, but we don't always have to speak letting emotion lead the way.
Mm-hmm.
We can let the Spirit of God lead the way that we talk. And so that's just another big disruptor. I mean, communication, especially when it comes to conflict in our marriages. So spiritual incompatibility, bad communication.
And then the third is financial disagreements.
Oh, man, this is a big one, isn't it, Pops?
I mean,
I know these aren't things that are a surprise to you at all, because all of us who are listening who are married, you've experienced these things.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't tell you again the number of couples I've talked to where, the husband went out and made a major purchase without consulting his wife.
That's the big one a lot of times.
Or whatever the case may be. The wife won't stop running on my credit card. She goes to, you know, Target every day and buys whatever. I mean, those things really do happen. And again, it goes back to some of that communication stuff where there's just an unwillingness to sit down and be realistic about the money that you have and coming to agreement about how you're going to use that stuff, right? And so that creates a lot of conflict. But really, what I've found over the years with financial disagreements, it really does boil down to a communication issue. Like, we're just not talking.
Right.
We're just not talking about the expectations in our marriage as to how we're going to spend our money. And we haven't talked about a plan. We haven't formed a budget, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, budget is a big thing. You know, I think what happens is we don't communicate because we actually don't want them to know what we're about to do, because I've done that. Where I have went, and if I knew that if I said I'm going to buy whatever was, she was going to say, no, we're not doing that. We need to do this.
Yeah.
And so what happens is because we've not, going back to what you said, not had good communication about what our goals are, then all of a sudden I'm going off and doing stuff. It's usually me, not her. And I go off and do stuff, and then she says, "You know, Trey, we said we were going to do thus and so. We can't do both." And now you know.
Yeah, way to mess it up, Trey.
Yeah, no, really, it does. It does. I bought a motorcycle one time when I was in
my young 20s.
Yeah,
I have not done that.
And she didn't know a thing about it till the credit company called her, and it was on credit. Like, and it was just a terrible idea. It was terrible. So yeah, it happens, but it was lack of communication because I knew she would have said no motorcycles. Obviously, you know.
And you knew it was probably not the right thing to do when you did it.
Yeah, I know I did. Anyway, but what I'm saying is that it all works together. But those financial disagreements, and they also cause a lot of disagreement and cause that, you know, that beating each other up emotionally.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
All right, number four, parenting challenges.
Yes.
Ooh.
I tell you what, like, Stacy and I, we got married. We were, you know, 30-ish when we got married, and we waited a couple years before we had Luke. And those first couple of years of marriage were really, really, really good. And then we had our first son, and then the challenges started.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just the way it is. I mean, our marriage has always been great, but if you're a parent, you know this. Like, children add some stress to the relationship, and for lots of different reasons, because here's what I've learned about my kids over the years. Like, they're really sinful.
That's amazing.
That's
they are.
Amazing how sinful
kinda like,
they are.
It's kind of like they're like me. You know, I'm pretty sinful myself.
Yeah, and that's the thing about having kids. Oh, they kind of expose how sinful you are. Because, you know how it goes with kids?
Wow.
Like, I did not understand the depths of love that I would have for my sons.
I remember that day.
I love them in an amazing kind of way. I also did not understand the depths of frustration I would have for my sons. Like, it is daggum frustrating when they don't listen,
when
I know what the right thing is for them to do and they refuse to do it, that is daggum frustrating. You know what I'm saying? And and then, you know, think about, like, it just happens. Like, there are times when Stacy and I have different perspectives on how we should deal with certain issues with our kids. And I can be very passionate about how I think we need to deal with an issue, and she can be very passionate about how she thinks we should deal with an issue. And that creates sometimes some tension or conflict within the marriage because, you know, we're trying to figure out how to raise these hard-headed kids, right? And we're hard-headed too. You see what I'm saying? And so I mean, parenting really is it's a wonderful thing. And it's an opportunity for a husband and wife to come together and to raise kids for the glory of God. It's a wonderful thing, but it can be very challenging. It can be challenging to your marriage because it's difficult sometimes to stay on the same page as you raise your children, especially as your children are being children, as they're sinning and rebelling, because that's what kids do. That's what we all do. And so, you know, here I am, you know, husband, dad, I live in a house with four sinners. I'm one of them.
And you're one of them, yeah. That's what we deal with.
That's tough.
Yeah.
And that does create sometimes a lot of conflict and tension in marriage if you're not careful. So it really is. Parenting challenges really are a marriage disruptor.
Yeah, I would encourage, don't wait until you have problems to figure out how to raise your children. You know, people come to me when they're 14 years old and say, I'm having problems with my children. you know, and by the time they're 14, man, it's almost a slate. It's almost a slate that's already written on.
Yeah.
So Kelly and I decided a long time ago that we would start to learn how to raise our children even before we were married.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
that's good, Pops. I didn't think much about parenting until we had kids, so I could have done better about that. But when it started getting really challenging as a parent, I really started doing some reading.
Yeah.
I probably have read over Lucas 13. Over the last 13 years, I have probably read, I would say, between 40 and 50 books on parenting.
Wow.
I've just picked up anything I could and read. And that's been helpful because, I mean, every book is going to be different. You got to kind of weed through it. A lot of it's garbage, a lot of it's good, all that kind of stuff. But what it did for me reading all those books on parenting over the years is it showed me over and over again that I'm not the only parent struggling with particular issues.
Yeah. That's true.
Like the issues that I struggle with my kids,
probably consistent across the board.
That's right. Yeah. Other parents struggle with them. I'm not alone.
Yeah.
Right. And that's been helpful for me. And so I think that's good advice, Trey. Learn as much as you can because that's going to help you as a parent. It's also going to help you to keep your cool with your spouse as you're raising those kids as well. It's a glory. It's a joy to raise children, but it does come with some challenges in your marriage for sure.
All right. The fifth marriage disruptor is one we probably don't want to talk about, but it has to be, and that is sexual sin.
Yeah, it is. It happens way too much. Mm-hmm. And over the years as a pastor, I can't tell you how many times I've sat in my office with a couple or sat, at a coffee shop with a couple and they're confessing their infidelity.
Yeah.
And that's hard, man. And to see, you know, a spouse, whether it's a husband or wife, and I've seen it both ways.
Sure.
You know, absolutely brokenhearted. A husband brokenhearted because his wife chose to sleep with another man, or a wife brokenhearted because her husband chose to sleep with another woman. That's devastating.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, it is a huge marriage disruptor. And we're living in a culture where, you know, pornography is an epidemic. Right? And just over the years, the number of marriages and the number of people I've counseled with who are, you know, someone in the marriage is struggling with pornography, and how it's oftentimes that wife who is disgusted by the behavior of her husband and trying to help them work through that. And listen, I mean, sexual sin is a real thing.
It is.
And I know there are those of you listening today who have struggled with sexual sin or are struggling with it now. And if you're struggling with it now, get help. Stop.
Amen.
Right? Because
Amen
I'm telling you, you're destroying everything. You're destroying you.
I was going to say,
you're
including
your
yourself.
Marriage, right? And as a parent, if you have children, like
your children.
It's destructive. There's no way around it for what? What's it worth? I mean, why? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to go cheat on your wife for a few minutes of pleasure? Like, that's just stupid. Boy. Stop it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't worth it. Mm-hmm. You follow? But for whatever reason, in that moment, our heart thinks it's worth it. Your heart is lying to you.
Lying. That's right.
So don't believe the lie,
man. Don't follow your heart.
And the thing about, like, you think about, we're in the book of Proverbs now, and we just started. We just started the introduction of Proverbs. But we're going to get later on into Proverbs over the next few weeks. And Solomon's going to tell his sons, right, enjoy the wife of your youth.
That's right? Exactly
right. Like, she is the fountain to drink from, you know? And listen, I mean, Stacy and I have been married for 16 years, and we have been faithful to each other. We still enjoy each other. I mean, and just building that intimacy with your spouse so that you can, you know, as you build the spiritual intimacy, right, the relational intimacy, that obviously is going to help build the sexual intimacy. Like, all those things go together. And so, you know, marriage is hard work, but, man, it's worth the work, right?
You know, like you say a lot of times, we're not going to get to the end of our life and say, you know, as you're on your deathbed, I really wish I'd slept around on my wife a lot more.
No, you're not.
No, really. I mean, you're going to say, oh, God, thank you that I was faithful to my
that's
wife.
Right, that's
thank
right. That's
you,
right.
God.
That's right.
You know,
that's
that she
right.
was faithful
right.
to me, you know.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's probably
I could
show
go on
stopper.
Talking for that yeah. for a long time, yeah. but we'll move right along. But
and then the sixth marriage disruptor is family dynamics.
Yeah, because every family has in-laws and outlaws, right?
Mm-hmm. Outlaws.
Right? So, but you think about, like, we all come from different families. Like, my family is different from Stacy's family. Like, my family, as Stacy will tell you this, like, my family is loud and in your face. Like, that's just who we are, mm-hmm. right? We ain't scared to talk about anything. We'll talk about everything. We're going to give our opinions about stuff, like, all in a good way, but we don't mind talking. Mm. We're loud. right? Stacy's parents are far more reserved, right? Like, they just don't talk about anything.
Wow.
They got to mind their own, which is fine. I mean, that's the way God made them, and that's cool.
Just a lot different.
It's just a lot different. Yeah. And so that was difficult for us is Stacy walking into my family where, hey, get ready, it's coming, right? And then me walking into Stacy's family like, what's wrong with your parents? Like, they don't say anything. What's up with them, right? Like, they're just sitting there. Yeah. Like, we got to make sure they're still alive and breathing. Like, what's going on with them, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's just, it was just so different, right? And maybe if you're listening, you've experienced something like that. Maybe you've got, your parents are loud and in your face, and your spouse's parents are not, or whatever, or it may may feel like your parents are overly involved in your marriage, and those are big things, right? Yeah. And so just, you know what Scripture says in Genesis, when we are introduced to the first marriage, Adam and Eve, you know, and just God tells man and woman to leave and cleave.
Yeah.
Right? Leave and cleave. And some of us have not done a good job of that. We're letting the voices of our parents, our siblings, whomever, people in our family, speak way too much into our marriage. Mm-hmm. And there's some of us, right, that every time we have a little marital conflict, we run to our mom or dad, or our brother or sister, and say, my wife, you won't believe what she did, or my husband, you won't believe. Listen, it's your marriage, not their marriage, mm-hmm. right? And so just being able to establish those good boundaries, right? And it's still your family. You want to love your family, and you want your family involved in your life and in your marriage, but in healthy ways, not unhealthy ways. Mm-hmm. And you go into your parents and complaining about your spouse is not healthy.
No, it never is.
And so just those family dynamics can be very challenging. And then learning, right, for some of us as in our marriage, we need to learn how to tell our parents, hey, butt out. Mm. You know?
Yeah, and that's a hard thing.
And that's hard, too.
Especially you've had a good relationship with your parents. You know, you just say, this is not your
love
business.
Love you, but, you know, this is where we are. And In this particular area, like, I just don't need your opinion, mm-hmm. right? When I need it, you know, I'll come and ask, I guess. But just kind of figuring those things out is really, really important, because family dynamics can be a challenge. And so here you have these six marriage disruptors that what we've talked about on this episode is, especially if you're married, this is nothing that you are unfamiliar with. Mm-hmm. You've considered these things. You probably have experienced these things. Because at the end of the day, what you and I want in our marriages is we want our marriages to look like what Paul describes in Ephesians 5.
Exactly.
Where husbands love their wives like Christ loves the church, and wives graciously submit to the leadership of their husbands as the church does to Christ. Because we want that kind of marriage so that our marriage will be an example of gospel love. And so we've got to be careful. We've got to guard ourselves against these disruptors. And if we see these disruptors disrupting often, then we really do need help.
Yeah.
We need to seek out some good biblical counseling, or sit down and talk to your pastor, or get into this Reengage thing we're doing at Northwood, or whatever the case may be, and get the help you need to begin to minimize some of these disruptors so you can enjoy the relationship that God has given you with your spouse.
Yeah, be careful about getting information from your friends, especially, you know, my husband's doing this, and, you know, just you need somebody that really can help you through
you
the
need
thing,
godly
not somebody that's going
counsel.
To go on your side or whatever
that's
it is.
That's
right,
that's right.
Well, Pastor, I think this has been great to just look at this and kind of figure out where we are as married couples, and maybe I don't think I'll make 42 more years, but
you never know, Pops.
Who knows?
I mean, the way modern technology is, they might freeze you. You might get frozen someday,
and
they might freeze you until 3045, and then unfreeze you.
Anything can happen.
It'd be great.
Yeah, but anything. But I certainly hope that we can get through these marriage disruptors, because they can happen and they do happen. So as we think about those things, why don't you get us ready for next week?
Yeah, I hope today's episode has been helpful for you. And if it has been helpful, we'd love for you to hit that subscribe button so you can have new content delivered to your device every single week. Leave us a 5-star review. That helps us to get word out about our podcast. And as always, we hope today's episode has helped you connect faith to life.